Appreciate the prayer. Ask an interest in your prayers tonight. I've been pondering this week the book of Psalms. Now that's saying a lot. But don't you love the Psalms? I mean, it's really a remarkable book. Not all of the Psalms were written by David, but all of them were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so when we approach the book of Psalms, there's just so much there for us. And I, you know, there's no wonder why there's so many folks that read them on a regular basis. And it's good for us, of course, with our regular daily reading. It's good for us to mix in the Psalms, I think. You know, there's lots of ways that you can approach your daily reading, but I think it's just good to get some of the Psalms in there on a regular basis. And I also like the practice of reading a proverb a day, because every month that passes, you got to get busy in February, but every month that passes, you can read the book of Proverbs. And, you know, there's just so many blessings to be had from regularly reading the scriptures. Brother Thomas let me know recently that he's got a schedule prepared for the coming year. And I'm happy for us to have that available. But whatever schedule works for you, as long as we're reading the word, that's what's important, isn't it? Reading the word on a regular basis. And so sometimes a schedule, or oftentimes a schedule like that, is just good to help you stay on track. And so they're very, very helpful. The Psalms, when I began to ponder this, I went back to, what was it? Let's see, 7 years ago, I think about 7 years ago when we finished our study, we went through the Psalms. And it took a while. A couple of years, I think. But when we got through, you know, it was just kind of like you're leaving an old friend behind. You know, there's just so much there. I have heard it said, and I agree, that in the Psalms, it touches on every human emotion. Whether it's praise and thanksgiving, which we need to do more of that. Okay, I don't care how much you're praising and thanking the Lord, there's room for improvement. Okay, and so we need to be praising. And it's just, the Psalms is just full of praise and thanksgiving to God. I wonder why. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is not a pet peeve of David. This is the Lord. This is the Lord, the Spirit, telling us, you need a lot of this. And so there's a lot of Psalms, a lot of praise and thanksgiving to his name. But it touches on every emotion that we can find. You know, Psalm 100, I'll mention a few as we go through this, but I really trying to kind of give, kind of stir your mind by way of remembrance about some of the wonderful things that are contained in the Psalms. There's so many different perspectives, but we find Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I like the way that's worded. All ye lands. God is worthy that everyone, without exception, should praise his holy name. But we know not everyone can. Not everyone has the Spirit of God. Not everyone has that desire in their hearts. Okay? So what about those of us who do? Then we should be praising and adoring our God as much as we can. You know, there's at least one, there might be two songs in our book that talks about if I had a thousand tongues, you know, for a thousand tongues to sing, or if I had a thousand. Well, we don't. But we do have one. And so we should be careful how we use that one and make sure that there's a lot of praise and thanksgiving with the one tongue that we do have. Psalms. Praise and thanksgiving. It speaks of blessings for the upright. That's how it starts, isn't it? Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Anybody that is desirous to please God and walk in a way that's pleasing unto him, that ought to catch your attention right away. Blessed is the man. Well, we ought to want to know just how it is that we can be blessed. Well, he tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the way of sinners, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful. Okay? In other words, we don't have any fellowship with those people. We don't want to be associated with it. We don't want to take up their ways. But he goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, Moses, by inspiration, wrote that when there came a time that Israel would have a king, that the king would write him a copy of the law. And he was to have it with him day and night. And he was to read it. I suspect that's part of what David's talking about here. And the scripture says, this is back in Deuteronomy, what is it, 18-19, something like that. But it says, he's to write himself a copy. He's to have it with him. He's to read it day and night and meditate upon it, that his heart would not be lifted up above his brethren. In other words, he'd walk humbly, to use what Micah says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, that's what I'm getting there, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Good instruction. Good instruction. So David, when he says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's exactly what Moses, by inspiration, had written that the kings, when it came time for the kings, that the kings should do. Okay? And then Psalm 1 goes on to tell of the great blessings of doing that. Like a fruitful tree that's not bothered by the heat because it's beside rivers of water. There's endless supply of refreshing. And isn't that what we find in the Lord? Isn't that what we find in his word? Endless, for this spirit within us rejoices with the truth. And so we rejoice in the things of God. So Psalm 1 speaks of the great blessing of following the Lord and doing that which is pleasing in his sight. So it speaks of the blessings of the upright, but it also mentions to us that God's anger with the wicked is every day. Remember that in, Psalm 7:11. Let me read that because we might not be familiar with that. Psalm 7:11, that ought to be easy to remember. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. A little different instruction that we find from that. So we don't want to take counsel with the ungodly. We don't want to stand with sinners. We don't want to sit with the scornful. Our delight's in the law of the Lord. We want to serve him with gladness. As we said a couple of times already, I think that the scriptures just kind of run the gamut of human emotions. And David was faithful to record for us that there's some times when we're just down, when we're sorrowful. I think of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Let me turn to Psalm 42 real quickly. You might say, well, preacher, why are you talking about a psalm where somebody's down? Well, because sometimes we're there. Yeah. And sometimes that's really what feeds our soul to be able to remember and to realize and to relate that others of God's people go through those same struggles. But there's help in the Lord, okay? In interest of time, Psalm 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Sometimes we're cast down. And why art thou disquieted within me? Sometimes we're troubled within us. But then he goes on to say, hope thou in God. Let's see, tonight we sang that song, Oh, for a faith that will not fail. You know, there's a lot of times I can be disappointed in myself. There's a lot of times I'm disappointed in someone else. But there's never been a time that I've been disappointed in the Lord. He who has all wisdom, he who loves us more than anything that we can fathom here in this life, the one that has such mercy upon us that he sent his son to suffer and die to save us from our sins, just the grace that's been bestowed upon us, the love that he's manifested to us in giving us his son, you know, greater love hath no man than this, Jesus said, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he went on and did it. He showed it to us. So John 3:16 and 1 John 4:9 and 10, herein is the love of God was manifested that he gave his only begotten son. As we think about it, those kind of verses that speak of the ultimate that God has given us, and really what it amounts to is that he gave us himself. Gave us himself. And so, yes, our emotions are up and down. Yes, our emotions change. But God is always the same. And over we find it in the Psalms. Over and over we find that encouragement in the scriptures of remembering the Lord. So it says, why art thou disquieted with me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Yes. There are times when we're down. There are times when we're troubled. There are times when troubles are like mountains before us. Bless your hearts, we can always find hope. We can always find comfort in the Lord. Now I'll take that a step farther. There's at least one psalm, Psalm 88. The psalmist is down in the dumps when it starts, and he's still there when it ends. There's not a word of encouragement in the whole psalm. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes we're just not of a frame of mind that we can find any encouragement. But our hope, our help is in the Lord. We know that, and we can hold on to that. And we may not feel like praising God at some times, But bless your hearts, he's always worthy of our praise. He's always worthy of our adoration. He's always worthy of our trust. And so the psalmist said here that he is the the strength of our countenance, the health of our countenance. All right. Many times there's reminders in the Psalms of how the Lord is our help. And I could go to 100 places for this, but let's just go to Psalm 7, verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. There's no other place that's worthy for us to trust than in the Lord. In thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. You know, persecution comes in lots of ways. Our struggles and our temptations come in lots of ways. But there's one source of help. That's the Lord. And he can deliver us. Now, the Lord's deliverance, when you read the scriptures, you'll find that it's not always that he delivers us away from our troubles. Okay? Sometimes he's pleased to deliver us through our troubles. Sometimes he delivers us around. You know, there's just various ways. You know, there's not a one-size-fits-all with the Lord. He knows what's best. There may be a reason why we need to go through a particular trial. Okay? So whatever the case might be, it's always in order to continue to look to the Lord and trust the Lord for his wisdom and that he knows what's best and follow him as best we can. You know, there's two outstanding examples of that in the book of Daniel, isn't it? When the three Hebrew children wouldn't bow down. God didn't deliver them from having to go into the fiery furnace. He delivered them in it. When Daniel, when those other presidents were jealous of Daniel, and they contrived a way for a law to be passed so they could find something to accuse him of, and so he had to go into the den of lions. God didn't deliver him from having to go in there, but God was with him. God was right there with him in the den of lions. And so every time we speak of deliverance doesn't mean that he delivers us from having to go through some things. But also, God doesn't have to do the same thing every time. I can't remember the book, chapter, and verses right now, but there was a time when God told David to go a certain way against his enemies. And then very shortly after that, there was a need for him to go out against his enemies again. But instead of going the same way, he prayed to the Lord. The Lord gave him a different way to go that time. All right? And so I'm satisfied that the same is true with us. That first order of business is always to seek the Lord and his counsel and his guidance. It might be that he wants us to go one way one time and another way the next time. But whatever it is, if it's his direction, it'll be what's best for us. And you find that over and over and over throughout the Psalms, don't you? And so it's good for us to read those Psalms and be reminded of the various ways that God deals with us from time to time. It helps us identify traits of our enemy. And it points out different kinds of enemies that we have. Now David being king, he had a lot of enemies, didn't he? And he found himself, well, he was a man of war. So he found himself fighting an awful lot. There were times in his life when before he was anointed to be king over all of Israel, that he was fleeing from Saul. And then after he was anointed to be king, he was fleeing from Absalom at times. Enemies come in a variety of ways. And the Psalms has a great deal of instruction on how we can recognize those things. But it also tells us how the Lord deals with those things, how the Lord can help us and deliver us. And he is always watching over the righteous and delivering them from others. There's also prophecies in the Psalms. You know, one of my favorite Old Testament passages when we start thinking about the prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of my favorite Old Testament passages in the Psalms is Psalm 22. You know, Jesus on the cross spoke some of the very words that had been penned down hundreds of years before in the book of Psalms. And I don't think it's accurate to say that Jesus was quoting David, because it was the Holy Spirit moving in David to pen those words that Jesus would eventually utter from the cross. And it definitely was, he was definitely speaking about Roman crucifixion. Psalm 22 speaks about, you know, the very beginning of it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wonder how many at the foot of the cross, when Jesus spoke those words, how many of them recognized him from the psalm. Probably a good number of folks recognized he's quoting from the Psalms. But the Psalms was recording for us hundreds of years prior to that what the Messiah would say as he came and suffered there upon the cross. That psalm also says, they pierced my hands and my feet, obviously speaking of our Lord and Savior. Prophecy, hundreds of years, I think about 700 years before Jesus would be born into this world. Okay. Psalm 110, I believe it is. Psalm 110, which is referred to over in Matthew 22. When Jesus had been questioned about which is the great commandment. And so he dealt with that. But then Jesus asked them a question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Remember that? That's out of Psalm 110. Okay. But in Matthew 22, Jesus is asking them the question, what think ye of Christ? Now notice he's not saying Jesus. What think ye of Christ? For the most part, the Jews didn't receive Jesus as the Christ. Okay? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Well, they said the son of David. And then Jesus said, well, then how saith David it by the Spirit that the Lord said unto my Lord, set thee at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? How then could David call him Lord if he's his son? They couldn't answer that. Well, we can answer that, can't we? Yeah. According to the flesh, he was the son of David. And that's all that those Pharisees and the Jews, that's all they thought of him was, as flesh. They didn't see him as God. They didn't see him as the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14, where he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. They didn't see him as such. All they could see was the flesh. According to the flesh, he is the son of David. But according to his divinity, he's the Son of God. The Son of God. The holy, only begotten Son of the Father. So yes, the scriptures, even the Psalms speak of him. Are there many ways that we're, or many times that we're frequently exhorted to praise God? Look at a few of the verses in Psalm 107, just by way of remembrance. Psalm 107, talking about praising God. There's much that is, and I won't take time to read a lot of this, but what I want to notice is Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, that's not the only place we find that in the Psalms, is it? All right. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." All right. And now notice verse 8. You're going to find in this psalm, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. That verse is repeated, okay? What is he saying? "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." And I say amen to that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Just think, don't you love to think about the goodness of our God? You know, and the goodness of our God extends further than we might think, because if you remember when Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory," how did God answer Moses on that occasion? Well, he put him in a cliff of the rock and he put his hand over him, but he said, "I'll cause all my goodness to pass before thee." Oh, so we think about his glory, his majesty, his power, his love, his mercy. All of those things are part of his goodness. Oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And as you read the scriptures, and if you read over and over the things that God has done, and by the way, the scriptures are his story, right? That's good history. His story. What God would have us to know about himself, and what he's done, and what we have to look forward to. As we think about the wonderful works that he has done. All right, so we think about the wonderful works that he has done to the children of men. Oh, as we think about the wonder of what God has done. I mean, you could spend all day thinking about that, couldn't you? Creation, the flood. Bringing the children of Israel into existence, showing us glimpses of the elect family of God all the way through the scriptures, all that he's done for us, ultimately in sending his son to suffer and die to redeem us from our sin and giving us those glimpses in the Old Testament of such. Then verse 15 again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And all in between these verses, when he repeats that verse, he's speaking about the wonderful works that God has done for us. And so the Psalms is just full. This is just one psalm. The Psalms are full of reminders of the wonderful work, the wonder of God, and the wonderful works that he's done for us. So, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. We also are reminded of his mercy. Psalm 136, remember that psalm? Every verse, "For his mercy endureth forever." I remember one Bible study years ago, we read through that whole psalm I would read the first part, and then I asked the congregation just to say, "For his mercy endures forever." You might remember that. There's something about it when you hear a whole congregation of people speaking these words, "For his mercy endureth forever." Well, wouldn't you love to hear thousands of people in unison speaking such words? "His mercy endureth forever." What wonderful words those are. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate the mercy of God. Because I'm still a sinner. After all these years, I'm still a sinner. And if I understand what the scripture says, that's how I'm going to be for the rest of my days in this life. A sinner. Bless your hearts. I think it's attributed to John Newton when he said that I'm not what I hope to be, and I'm not what I ought to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not what I used to be. We can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, but we're still going to have this old nature in us. And how thankful I am that His mercy endureth forever. And over in the Psalms, we find that refrain, His mercy endureth forever. His glorious works are spoken of, His glory. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Remember that? Oh, as we think about all the ways that His glory is manifested and spoken of in the Psalms. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. See, such psalms as that is why part of the reason why I recommend that we make the psalms a regular part of our reading to remind us of the glory, of the majesty of our God, and how we should be praising and adoring Him every chance we get. Then we come, I'm reminded of Psalm 119. And every one of those, 176 verses? Every one of them somehow speaks of the Word of God. Whether it's in His statutes, His judgments, His law, whatever the case might be, all 176 verses speak of the Word of God. As we think about it. And it is amazing in its construction and how it's an acrostic psalm. And in the original language, for each of those eight verses in each of the 22 sections, each word in those eight lines of each section began with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that would take some time, wouldn't it, to come up with something like that. But it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so when you read it in English, we've lost that, a lot of those characteristics of that acrostic, but it's still the same teaching. It's still the same Word of God. It may not have the same, lettering like it did in the Hebrew, but it's still that instruction. All those 176 verses speaking to us about the Word of God. How wonderful that we're reminded of that. And how fitting that the longest chapter in the Bible, every verse would speak of the Word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? And I'm just trying to draw out some of these characteristics of the Psalms that would stir, hopefully, to renew our interest once again in turning back and, if it's not our habit, to make it a part of our reading on a regular basis. Of course, you can't talk about the Psalms, I suppose, without mentioning Psalm 23. I mean, if there's a chapter in the Bible that anybody's going to memorize, that's probably one of the best possibilities of what they would memorize. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, there's just so much comfort in that psalm. So much comfort of God's care for us and how He leads us and leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. So much comfort in that little psalm, and then throughout the psalms, there's so much comfort to be had. He speaks of our hiding place, our refuge, how he's our deliverer, our rock, our fortress, so many things. Psalm 40, he says, he's the one that reached down where we were. You know, in a day in which we live, there's so much of religion, even in among Christianity, that talks about what you've got to do to come to the Lord, or what you've got to do to accept the Lord, or whatever the case might be. You read the scriptures and you find the Lord reaching down all the way to where we are. He didn't come part of the way. He reached all the way. Psalm 40. Let's read a little bit of that. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The psalm just goes on and on for there. Oh, as we think about how that he lifted us up out of that horrible pit, set our feet on a rock, established our going, put a new song in our mouth. Can't we all relate to that? That's what the Lord has done for us. He didn't ask us we didn't ask him to do it. By his mercy, his sovereignty, by his grace, he's provided it for us. For all that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, he deals with them as such. And then you come to the end of that psalm and he says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. How wonderful that we can be reminded of such glorious truths as we have in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So once we know all of these things, you know, I probably haven't said anything that you didn't already know tonight. But knowing this, then when we go back and revisit the Psalms, and we read, and maybe there's a psalm we haven't read in a while, and there could be a psalm that you've read all your life. But the Spirit, because of what you need at that particular moment in time, the Spirit can just feed your soul as if it was the first time you ever read that. Or at least the sweetest time you've ever read that. Because life's experiences teach us a lot. And verses of scripture that maybe we knew it. Well, for instance, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where he tells us, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. Now, I made this statement a couple of times here lately, I think, but you know, when I was younger, I didn't have a clue. Now, I may have been able to study out the phrases and understand what was being said, but what I'm saying is I didn't have a clue as to the impact of those statements that Solomon made about how life would be later on in life and how different it could be from youth. But I'm starting to get a better education in those kinds of things. I'm starting to understand a little bit more about what that means. But at an earlier year, I didn't have a clue. So that also tells us that at different seasons in our life, we're more receptive. At different ages in our life, based on experience, we have a better understanding of the meaning and the importance of many of these principles. And so the Psalms are just full of instruction, of godliness. And listen, we need to be reminded. And in the Psalms, we're reminded over and over. You know, I can't think of any two Psalms that are exactly alike, can you? There's a part of the Psalms, I think it's Psalms, and part of the Chronicles, this is very similar. But as far as the Psalms, they're all different. They're all good. They're all instructive. May God help us to keep our appreciation for that wonderful book that God has given us in His Word. And so, we looked at Psalm 1, but you go to the end of the Psalms, and let's see, from Psalm 148 through 150, it's just praise. Praise to God. Praise to God. Seems like to me, the farther we go, the more praising we ought to do. All right? But you know, these are for those who can. You know, I read from Psalm 40. He hath put a new song in our mouth. God hasn't done that for everybody. Not everybody can sing that new song. Not everybody has an appreciation for the things of God. But thank God we do. We've been blessed with that. Not because we're so good, but because God is so good. He's so merciful. He's so kind. His goodness endures, you know, His mercy endures forever. And His good, great is His goodness. And so when we think about, He's given us a new song to sing. And bless your hearts, we ought to be singing that song every day we live. We also encounter the little word Selah in the Psalms. Now the Psalms were poetry that's written to music. And so it had a meter. And I'm pretty sure when it was translated into English, you don't have the same meter. There might be some of it that we can deal with in a meter, but you kind of lost that. But in music, when you get to that Selah, it would be a rest, a musical rest. Okay. But for the reader, when we're reading and we encounter a Selah, it means pause and consider. Pause and consider. And so, you know, we've all been guilty, I'm afraid, of reading and reading and reading and reading and reading, and maybe not really pausing and considering some of it as much as we should. But in the Psalms, when you encounter that Selah, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need to stop. Think about what you just read. God tells us something special. And so we would do well to acknowledge, yes, it's there, but don't just run over it. Use it for what it's intended for. Pause and consider what the Spirit's telling us in that song. And I thought about how the Psalms, in Psalm 90, verse 12, we find this admonition. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Some of our days are good. As a matter of fact, every day the Lord has made is good. But our experience sometimes not quite as good some days. But we need to take note of that. Let me get back to a reading. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'm sure there's a thousand, or not that many, but there's hundreds of verses that we could use to kind of try to sum up what the Psalms teach us. But to me, this one was a really good reminder of all that the Psalms has to for us. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The more we take note of how that David, being a man after God's own heart, which the Old Testament and the New Testament both makes that statement, as we take note of how we're exhorted to praise, how we're exhorted to offer thanksgiving, how we're to be mindful of our need to trust the Lord no matter what, to look to Him for the guidance that we need, to thank Him for His blessings, all the many things. This says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That word number, he says number our days, means to reckon or to pause and consider of all God's dealings with us and our dealings with Him, that we may more clearly see the reasons why we should honor Him and serve Him as we should. What we've talked about tonight from the Psalms, I hope, has served to give you a reminder of a lot of the Psalms. I can't say it's a summary of the Psalms because I haven't touched on an awful lot. But the ones that we did remind you of, I hope it was representative of how rich, how full, how glorious the Psalms really are, and how we would do well to avail ourselves on a regular basis to reading that portion of God's Word that is so rich, tells us so much of the love that we should have to God, and reminds us of how great His love is for us. The Psalms, a wonderful book God has given us in His Word. May the Lord bless you, Zarbara.